From New York to the world, it's time for the realest and the rawest. Welcome to the Rational Rage Podcast with your host, Spiro.
Cut the music, production, cut the music, listen up, and I'm specifically speaking to the people of New York City. Rome has fallen, Athens is burning, and Great Gotham isn't so great anymore because these politicians have turned the Big Apple into the Rotten Apple. I need you, the people, to support this cause, and that cause is the fight for the future of New York City. I have an extra special guest today. He's a professional wrestling icon. I've been a fan for many years, and now I'm an even bigger fan for answering the call to arms. Ladies and gentlemen, Vampiro.
How's it going, brother?
Well, man, it's going. I'm super excited. Thank you for taking time out, man, to come on here. So what has El Vampiro Canadiense been up to?
I've been just dealing with my health issues, you know, work-wise and working in television and all that kind of stuff. But I've been spending the last two or three years dealing with all the mental health injuries, the head injuries, the trauma, the PTSD from, you know, all the years in the ring. I got that under control. So now that that's back in track, I'm just dedicating my time to helping kids with diabetes, drug addictions, alcohol addictions, obesity, bullying in school. You know, get out of gangs, get off drugs, that kind of stuff. And I'm behind this project in Mexico because we're number one in the world for diabetics and obesity. So I'm really focused on that right now, is helping people deal with that sickness. So I'm just trying to do the right thing. You see what I'm saying, brother?
Oh, absolutely, man. The bullying is something that I'm also involved in. I've actually gone to schools to speak to kids. And I'll tell you, man, you know, I'm a 13-year Army veteran, but there's nothing scarier than standing in front of a room full of kids that look up to you and have these expectations. You know, it's like, oh, man, I do not want to let these kids down. But bullying's a big deal. The whole diabetes and all that stuff is a big deal, too, because right now, with the COVID going around, diabetes is one of those underlying issues that can put a lot of people at risk to have some really bad lasting effects.
You can lose your life, you know, because of stress. Yeah. And, I just think that all the quick fix causes, you know, they're not enough anymore. Things have changed, you know, like you just said yourself, you speak in front of kids, your fear. But that fear is, it's not being in front of them or letting them down. It's when you realize how deep the cut is.
Yes.
You know, giving them a 2-hour speech, you're going to keep them entertained, but that doesn't help them deal with getting beaten up at home or seeing one of their parents in a situation that's ugly. That, you know, that scar tissue from the real world at a young age doesn't go away. So just like diabetes, you know, it's not, I thought it was something to do with being overweight. It's got nothing to do with it. It's in your family, yeah, but it's provoked by traumas and stress and fear and anxiety. And the more that we get caught up in things like the COVID virus, and you listen to the manipulations on the news and politics and elections and the economy, you lose your mind. You want to kill yourself.
Yeah, absolutely, man. You know, there's of course Facebook and Instagram and all these debates that everybody gets into, and nobody can disagree respectfully on anything. And when I talk to these kids, I go home feeling kind of like, you know, man, I mean, I did my best to bring these kids together, but like you said, when they go home, the ones who have the issues at home, it's like, what can I do?
It's tough. It's scary. It is. But you know what? If you don't take a swing, you never know if you're going to connect, right? So it's just, it is what it is. Well, if you're cut out for this life and you know what I'm talking about, if you're willing to sacrifice, then that's what we do.
Absolutely. You know, and sacrifice is a big part of it. I feel like we live in a time where there's not too many selfless people around. I mean, I'm not saying there aren't any, but it's like you'll be hard pressed nowadays the way kids have come up through the years, it's all about me, me, me. It's, you know, whether you're fighting with your spouse, whether you want to talk to your boss or any issue, you know, it's like at the end of the day, it's what about me? And like that, you can't help anybody.
Yeah, 100%. I agree with you on that.
So let me ask you, you know, how long have you been down there now in Mexico?
I got here in like 1989, 1990. So pretty much been here. I've left a few times, but not, you know, just for a few months or a year at the most. But I've been here pretty much ever since.
Wow. Awesome. What are the wrestling fans there like as opposed to fans here or anywhere else?
It's a whole different thing because here it's cultural, meaning you're a fan. Yeah, of course. And there are very dedicated fans all over the world. But down here, it's not looked at as entertainment. It's looked at as part of the culture. So it's treated with a whole other level of respect, and it's looked at as a serious profession. It's on the same level as boxing, you know, or any other professional sport. If you're a professional wrestler, especially the older school guys, you're held in a pretty high prestige in the public eye here. So the wrestling fans react different to that. It's not a joke. It's never taken as a joke, and it's not a fashion thing. You know, you're not a fan from when you're 13 till you're 15, you're born into this and it's with you for life. You know, it's just part of the culture.
Man, I find that amazing, you know, and I think that a problem that we have here in America, and especially with our fandom, is the expectations. And to a certain degree, I get it because they are fans. They pay to see a certain product. The business has changed. I've never been in it, so I'm not going to insult your intelligence and act as if I know. But I'm friends with some guys who are, and, you know, a lot of them feel the same way. They feel like a lot of things have a change. And ever since, you know, I hate to say it, since the cat was let out of the bag and you got all these smart marks now that think that from ringside, they can run a promotion better than anybody else. It doesn't sound like you have those type of fans down there.
You do and you don't. You,
really?
It's not the same, you know. That whole, I'm not really aware, you know, of the whole smart mark movement. I don't really care. I don't want to get involved. I don't want to know.
Better off, yeah.
I love what I do, and I would not have been able to do what I've done here in Mexico, anywhere else in the world, because of that communication, connection, and compassion with the fans. My whole outlook and attitude would have been extremely different if I was only brought up in the United States as far as a professional wrestler. I got nothing but love and respect for the fans anywhere in the world. But that whole smart mark thing, it doesn't matter if you're Canadian, American, Mexican, Japanese. If you're a fucking idiot, you're an idiot. You know what I'm saying? And all these people who are smart marks, you're the guys that got beat up in high school for a reason, you know? Just kind of chill out, man. It is what it is. And if you were really that much better at it, then it would be you in the ring. So you're not.
Absolutely.
Except buy your PlayStation, stay at home, and do your thing.
That's it.
I think it would change if the smart mark, or whatever they're called, would understand we know you're smart marks. You don't have to tell us you're a smart mark. Be a smart mark. But it's almost like, you know, anything else in life. As long as you're not stepping in my path and forcing me to listen to you, you're cool, you know? And I think that goes for anywhere. I think smart marks get a bad rap, but they bring it on themselves. I believe if you're a compassionate fan, that's great. But nobody gives a fuck that you think you know things. And it's like me, no, believe me, the rice farmer in China doesn't give a fuck that I'm Vampiro in Mexico. So I'm not going to tell that person 20,000 times. Why would I? So it's the same thing like being a smart mark. If you think you have a little bit of an inside scoop, you really don't. And even if you did, no one fucking cares. It's just like winning an Academy Award. The only person who really, really cares is the person who won the award. Yeah. So it's like, go ahead and be a smart mark. Just stop being a fucking pain in the ass. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely, man. Absolutely. You know, so this weekend, there's this to me, at least, and to many other New Yorkers who are worried about where we're heading. It's a big event. I believe you're going to be there signing autographs. More importantly, you're going to be there to support Curtis Sliwa in his bid to become mayor.
Yes.
The way things are here, I mean, crime is... It's like going back to the 90s, going back to the 80s. And I do believe Curtis Sliwa is the guy to fix our problems. He's a guy of the people. He's a guy that he put himself out there selflessly and has done it for many years. Now, when did the affiliation with the Guardian Angels start for you? How long have you been a part of that? Because I never knew this till this came up, you know, that you were actually affiliated with them.
I think the early 2000s.
Really?
Got involved. I absolutely love the mission. I love the brotherhood. I love the whole thing that is the Guardian Angels. I'm very close with Curtis. I have been since day one. I've started the Angels. You know, I've worked with the Angels in Los Angeles, in Canada, in Mexico. I've had some ups and downs with it, but I'm 100% behind Curtis. Not only for who Curtis is, not only because of the Guardian Angels, but historically speaking, I mean, if there's anybody who loves New York City, but it would be Curtis Sliwa, you know what I mean? For over 43 years, he's been the face of the Guardian Angels. But even before that, in the 1960s, he actually won a presidential award for, he was one of the first people in the world who started recycling newspapers when he was a teenager. So, I mean, if there's a guy, I've walked the streets of New York City with Curtis many times, and he knows every breath that's ever happened on every ounce of that city. And it's pretty amazing to be around him because he is New York. You know, he's not a guy who loves New York. He is New York.
Right. You know, I remember being a kid growing up in the streets of Queens, New York, and I would see these guys with their white T-shirts or the red jacket, the red beret, iconic and symbolic of the Guardian Angels. And I remember I would always say to myself, I want to be one of these guys one day. Well, you know, many years later, I never joined, but I ended up going to the Army, and I would always think back. That was probably, I guess it was the first time I actually felt inspired to protect others, you know,
right.
Because in the 80s, they were very popular on TV shows and movies, and I just thought that was so cool, and these guys are fucking awesome, you know. And there was that attempt on Curtis's life too.
Yeah.
And you know, that doesn't happen because a guy's not being effective. That doesn't happen because a guy's not getting through, you know. That happens because Curtis Sliwa should be mayor of New York.
I mean, it's so hard for somebody who doesn't know, though. This is where the smart marks will have an opinion. I mean, the Guardian Angels is a worldwide movement, but the Guardian Angels of New York City, that's another thing. The Guardian Angels of New York City are synonymous with the birth of hip hop, the birth of disco, the birth of punk rock, the end of the Vietnam War, the heroin, the bankruptcy of the city, the burning of the buildings, the whole Studio 54, the whole thing, that era, the movie The Warriors, the Charles Bronson stuff in the 70s, that moment in time is what set the world, you know, as far as alternative music, hip-hop, fashion, anything and everything that we're seeing today came from that one period of time. And the Guardian Angels were right in the middle of it. And out of everything that was underground and against the grain, the Guardian Angels stood in front of that train and didn't move. That's a lot of balls. You know what I'm saying? That's a pretty New York thing. That's something, that's punk rock. That's like everything that happened at the time was supposed to be the new alternative. And you had one guy stand up and just say, no, that's pretty intense. And to even say, I know him, I'm in awe. When you're around Curtis Sliwa and you see him speak about New York City, he has this energy, there's this thing about him. And like, you know, he's in his 60s, but he's a bad dude, man. You do not want to get on the bad side because there is nothing that phases him. Like you said, John Gotti Jr. shot him six times. Man, they tried to kill him. And he's still here. you know? He's still here. He went in the operating room. He got operated on. 3 days later, he's back on the radio. I mean, that's a ninja, bro. That's a samurai. That's going to be the mayor of New York City, the guy with the keys to the world, the right man, the one who has the voice. And his voice is the platform for all of the people in the streets. I mean, come on.
No, absolutely, man. You know, he is definitely a modern day Spartan in many ways. And I really do feel, and I'm sure there's many New Yorkers that feel that he is the man for the job. He's the man to bring us back to where we once were before de Blasio and all these other guys fucked everything up here, you know. I mean, I'm sure you've seen on the news everything going on here. It's like, I feel like all the laws made in New York benefit the fucking criminals. You know, when you look at it, our gun crime has skyrocketed. It's insanity, man. It's like the Wild West here. And again, they feel that, you know, more gun laws are going to fix this issue. It's not going to fix it when the only people following these gun laws are the taxpaying people like me, you know, the law-abiding citizens of New York, like myself, like my neighbors. I mean, you know, these gun laws do not affect these guys. I mean, a lot of these guns and these gun crimes are committed with, you know, guns that are bought and sold on the black market. But that's for another time. You know, I don't want to go down that rabbit hole of laws and all that stuff. Tell us a little bit about this event this weekend. What's happening there?
I'm aware of who I am as Vampiro in the wrestling community. And I know there's a bigger Mexican community now in New York City. And there is really no strong guardian angel presence there yet. Even though there is, you know, it's predominantly Puerto Rican and Dominican in New York City. But the Mexican community is coming along. And it's just like you said, you know, the gun problem. You've got a new community starting, so there's going to be some conflicts and there's going to be some misunderstandings. So, you know, the fact that there's going to be a Mexican community there now and they don't really understand New York City yet. They don't understand that lifestyle. So, you know, kids can turn to crime because they're not going to get the right jobs. They're not going to get the right education. They're going to have to defend their turf, their neighborhood, their safety, whatever. So there's only one other way to go, and that's either, you know, turn it up or turn it off. So instead of dying, you know, it's kill or be killed type stuff. So where does that come from? It's because the parents don't know how to communicate because they're fearful of living in the community. So the parents are on edge. They're working 2 and 3 and 4 jobs. They're not really educating the kids like they should. So there's no real influence at home, no communication. So then the kids turn to the streets, they get the guns and start doing crimes, killing each other, go to jail for life, that kind of stuff. So with Curtis coming with me to this event on Saturday, the idea was, you know, hopefully there'll be some wrestling fans and people from the Mexican community that understand, you know who I am. You've supported me for 4 decades. I'm telling you, this guy right here is one of us. He's on our side. And even though you might not speak English that great or you don't understand the culture yet, this guy here has asked me to come from Mexico to tell you that I'm telling you he's okay. So that's the whole idea.
Man, and he could not pick a better person to come here to represent, to help get his message across to the Mexican people, not only to them, but to everybody, man. I'm so excited for this. When I found out about this event, man, I was like, wow, man, this is going to be huge, man. This is going to have much more of an impact in more ways than one. I think it's going to bring people, Dominicans, Puerto Ricans, Mexicans, all kind of people. I think, you know, it's just at the end of the day, it's all about unity, man. You know, unity, positivity, and this city needs a new leader. And that leader is Curtis Sliwa. No fucking doubt about it. 100%. So this Saturday at Catch Astoria, I'm telling you, people, you will not be disappointed. Come out there. I believe you're going to be there signing autographs. People are going to get to meet you and all that stuff, right?
Yeah, we're going to hang out. You know, the idea is going to be signing autographs, taking pictures, just chilling. And then I'm going to watch my documentary. But the idea also is to get everybody in a good vibe. Everybody's cool. And just let Curtis have a little speech and let him know, let the people know he's in the neighborhood and we're going to be there. And if he gets in, I'll be coming up every month, you know, to do some wrestling stuff. but of course to work with the Guardian Angels in the Mexican community. So that's part of the push as well.
Wow, man. I'm telling you, if Curtis Sliwa gets elected, man, I mean, it's nothing but a win here for everybody, for the whole city, for all the people. I'm super excited for this. Man, I got to tell you, though, man, the last time I saw you was Lucha Underground. Right. And, man, I tell you, man, you know, well, actually, I've seen a couple clips from Mexico and stuff. But, man, you look great, man. You lost weight.
Yeah, 100 pounds.
Wow, man. I know you don't have too much time. Thank you for being here. I hope to see you and Curtis on Saturday.
Oh, yeah.
Anything you want to plug?
That's it, brother. Just this is an event for the people of New York City. I'm glad you asked that, because I know a lot of guys like me come on these types of shows and they're all about plugging themselves. I'm not. I got nothing to plug. I'm privileged to come up and co-create this new future for the people of New York City, especially the Mexican community, support the Guardian Angels and my brother Curtis Sliwa, get to meet you and hang out with good people. So I got nothing to push. I'd rather say thank you for letting me be part of this, because the future is tomorrow, but the future is today, and I'm a part of it. So I can't wait. Can't wait to come and hang.
Wow, that's awesome, man. Well, I'm telling you, it's been a pleasure. It's been an honor. There's so many questions I want to ask you. I'd love to have you back on here again at some point.
No problem.
But thank you. Can't wait to see you on Saturday. Ladies and gentlemen, this has been another episode of the Rational Rage Podcast. Catch me wherever you download your favorite podcasts. But for the best experience, download the Podbean app so when we go live, you guys can join in, call in, and we can have a great old time. Stay alert, stay alive. Rational Rage is over and out.